News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 17th of September, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And I can't hear a dang thing through my headphones all of a sudden. How interesting is that? I'll have to fix that in a few minutes.
But Wait a minute, listening to Sound Bites. Was it mentioned last week of a special event? See, I wasn't around, so...
That's right. My special event was last week. You, too, have your special events this week.
Yeah. But how young are you now?
I'm old. I'm old now.
What, we're the same age for a few days?
Dave will always be the oldest.
Yes, Dave will always be the oldest. Right, we're the same age for a couple of weeks, and then you get old.
Thank you.
That's how,
I just want to clarify
that's
that.
That's how that works. But yeah, we're good to go. I'm hearing nothing. I got nothing.
It was hearing out of that back pocket.
Yeah, but
what'd
it's not
you do?
Working. That's apparently this thing.
Why
is it
look at me? I'm not in that room with you.
Well, wait a minute. It was working until you touched the button.
Well, I'm sorry.
No,
I can't help you.
I think it's this thing, and it cuts out when the show starts, and then I was listening into that, and now I can't hear anything.
It's still his fault.
It is his fault. We know it's his fault.
If anyone has a quarter-inch stereo splitter, please bring it down to the office.
All right, not a big deal. I'll figure it out later.
Where are you plugged in?
I was plugged. See, now he's come into this part of the studio. I was plugged in here.
We're getting technical here. We even got Rob into our space.
I got nowhere else to plug it in.
And checking things out of where things were.
Oh, that worked. Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
Oh, see, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen. Now I can hear everything. I'm very excited now. What a smart guy. That's why we let him do this. The man's an idiot. Oh, wait, he's back in the room. He's a smart guy.
And he gets paid the big bucks.
I'll unplug it, too. You know, same way I plugged it in.
No, I appreciate that. He's good at what he does. Listen, before we get to anything else, let's quickly talk a little news, and then we'll talk to Ken Vogt. You heard that Ken Vogt is here. He's a medium noise. I won't pretend he's a big noise because he doesn't like to be thought of as a big noise at Frontier. So we'll talk to him there about that. And but first, the FCC doing its job the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has shut down four illegal email spamming operations, including one that offered the opportunity to date lonely wives. CleverLink Trading and its partners have been fined $400,000. Zachary Kinyon is $151,000. William Duger, Angelina Johnson, and John Vitale are $8,000. And a guy named Brian McMullen, $24,193. So the FTC is actually shutting down illegal spam operations. I got to say that's a great thing, and I'm very impressed. But we have as our very special guest this week, Ken Vogt from Frontier. And I will say up front, I am prejudiced. I have DSL and I am desperately in love with it. And Frontier does, full disclosure, Frontier does give us bandwidth for soundbites. So Ken, what's going on at Frontier?
Well, thanks, Nick. We're running a new promotion, actually. It's called 1-2 Free TV.
And free is a good word. I like that word.
Good.
Yeah, they'll give you free TV for a year. And if people want details, they can dial 777-8888 on Monday and sign up for it.
777-8888?
That's correct. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, I love my DSL. I had a different broadband provider, which generally is very, very good. But in my neighborhood, they're very, very crowded.
Yeah, you have to share.
And so I was getting, at best, a megabit download, and it was pretty slow. And when you guys said, well, you know, you can get DSL, you can get, they promised me four.
That's right.
And I was very pleased with the idea of being four times faster. When I got it, I discovered they had lied to me. I'm getting six. 6 megabits per second. So you guys, you did lie to me. I will say that. But
you're just closer to the most people to our central office.
Yes, I am. Yes, I can. Right. I can basically, if I take a good deep breath, I can spit on the central office from where I live. So yeah, it's pretty close. It's actually, I can actually see the building from my house. So
well, I see, can that's see where a lot of the fallacy has to be, changed. You know, there's so many beliefs out there that, you know, one is so much faster than the other. And I'm sorry, DSL,
there's an amazing number of variables.
Just as fast, if not faster, than the competition.
Well, and the reality is that most websites, it's that site you're going to that's going to be slow.
Exactly.
It's not your connection.
And how many folks are on?
Right.
Hello, it's just as fast, and I don't care. They can sit there and tell you all the negatives and everything else, but when the rubber hits the road, because I go from homes to different businesses, and they'll sit there and say, well, they claim that they're so much faster.
Yeah, no.
Prove it.
You're right.
I mean, I don't see it.
Right.
And, you know, well, I should be. Yeah, a lot of things should be, could be. But, you know, when the rubber hits the road, it is what it
right.
is.
But the other good thing is I don't share. So my connection to the CO is my connection, and I'm done. And so I don't ever see speed ups or slowdowns depending on who else is on. Listen, we got to take a break. But we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ken Vogt, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is... If we get any more people in here, it's going to be, and now we got to take a quick break, back in just a couple minutes, and we'll say the names all over again, and then we're done, and it's that easy. You're listening to Sound Bites. We're going to get to the phones in 1 second, but Apple has unveiled a new movie download service, which will allow you to download movies from Miramax and Walt Disney and Pixar, there's a surprise, and Touchstone. The new releases cost $12.99, $13. There'll be $15 later on. Older films will be $10. The movies include Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, Shakespeare in Love, great film, and The Incredibles. Consumers will be able to download the film to watch on their computers and iPods. And to go along with that, the company also updated their entire line of iPod players. We have the video iPods and the little tiny nano.
I don't have the newest model anymore.
Well, even if you did, you would have lost it by now. It's the size of a pinhead.
Yeah. The new Shuffle with a built-in belt clip or hair clip or tie tack. Yeah, really tiny. Yeah, it's the smallest MP3 player. Smallest of its capacity. 1 gigabyte capacity stores up to 240 songs. And it's $79. So the price of the 1 gig iPod dropped $20, or the price of the cheapest iPod went up $10, depending on how you want to look at it.
Right.
And yeah, the Nanos are now available in different colors, the way the Minis were last year. Some of it came from the complaints that the highly polished silver back of the Nano and the polished front was too easy to scratch. So now it's an aluminum case with different colors available: pink, green, blue, black, and silver. And then the new video iPod now is in an 80-gigabyte capacity. Apple hasn't disclosed who they're using for their 80-gigabyte one-inch hard drives, but Toshiba is the only company making them,
yeah,
so
exactly.
We're pretty sure it's Toshiba.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
Yeah, so
and
80,
the new Nano has 24-hour battery life, right?
Yeah, up to 24-hour battery life. Yeah, they doubled the capacity of the Nanos and kept the price the same, so that's really good. Now, of course, we at Jesse Group, 924-1920, have a great stock of new iPods still on sale. The new yesterday's model iPod, prices have dropped quite a bit. Because the new models are double the capacity at the same price, the old models have dropped in price quite a bit.
Excellent. Mm. So those of you looking for the new models can go to Jesse Group. Those of you looking for a bargain on the old models can go to Jesse Group. So it's all about the one-stop shopping at Jesse Group. We're going to go to the phones now. Our first caller, Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. I want to say happy birthday to everybody that had a birthday in the past week.
That's me last week and these two guys this week.
Yep.
Okay.
Ken, when is your birthday?
Mine was July 17th. I turned 50.
God bless you.
Okay. I am going. I love to play online poker. I go to partypoker.net. I had to change my password. I went in to their website and they told me how to do it. But when I get to a site, I click on it and it's a blank screen and it says done. So they sent me some information on how to do an Internet Explorer, but I don't use Internet Explorer. I use Firefox.
You might have to, for that site, use Internet Explorer.
A lot of sites use proprietary stuff. Microsoft has done really a very, very smart thing. They've got their...
For themselves.
For themselves.
It really screws
yeah.
us users.
Well,
though.
yes. But for themselves, a very smart thing. Their development tools are geared specifically to their products, of course. And if you are a lazy programmer... Or not a very good programmer, then you just use what Microsoft gave you and don't take into account all the billions of other products out there that cannot now use whatever you've written. And so that happens in a lot of places. There are simply places you have to go with Internet Explorer. The problem is most of them are going to download something to your system. Party Poker is known to do that, as a matter of fact.
And it also contains a lot of spyware.
Yeah, and so... it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of use. It's interesting, but the reality is you're gonna get spyware and stuff like that and adware when you go there.
One of the things you can try is turn off your pop-up blocker temporarily, because I've noticed a lot of websites will pop up a new window for changing passwords or things like that, and if you have a pop-up blocker on, you never see that.
Yep.
So turn that pop-up blocker off temporarily, try the change password feature, and then turn it back on.
Okay. I tried going into Internet Explorer, you know, like it said. I'm even having that problem. And they told me I have to go into the security tab and add these three web addresses. Is that correct?
Yeah, to be allowed.
Yeah, you have to reduce your security to let these websites in.
In Tools and Internet Options, it's in under the Security tab. You might have selected special settings as opposed to the default settings. And what it is you've got to sit there and put in those IP addresses to say allow these to come through.
Now, if you're interested in playing poker online without needing to use the Microsoft compatible stuff, there is a site on the net called CompatiblePoker.com. And it lists all the places and all the things you can do and all the places you can play that don't necessarily require the Windows software. They're 100% compatible with the Macintosh and with Linux.
Well, Party Poker has a Macintosh client, too, so that wouldn't let the Microsoft junk through because they don't write that for the Macintosh.
Well, but it would still you still get the adware and all the other stuff. I mean, it's still they're not there for your benefit, right? So other sites that have places where you can play poker with a Linux machine or a Mac machine or a PC machine that doesn't require Internet Explorer, you can take a look at that at CompatiblePoker.com. So give that a try. And Steve's going to have that online in just a couple of minutes, so you'll be able to go to our website and look at it there. Our next caller is John from East Rochester. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a problem with my sound, and basically, at times, it just goes away, and to get it back on, I have to log off and log back on or restart it, and then it works. This happens frequently.
There's a couple of things that could cause this. One is certainly driver,
yeah.
Having the wrong driver for your system. The second thing that could cause it is... if, depending on what you're running, some products take over the entire audio card and don't re-release it. So, for example, if you're running, say, Winamp, and you try to go online to see something, you won't see anything because Winamp is still open. You won't hear anything because Winamp is still open. But I would start with the audio driver. Did you recently upgrade something or change something in your system?
No, I've had this problem for almost 2 years, and I had a couple people poke around, and reinstall the driver and...
Well, but reinstalling a driver that's not working isn't going to help you any.
Especially if you've been doing the Windows updates.
Right.
Which can change other DLLs that something that was working fine, now all of a sudden you do the Windows updates because it's intertwined with the Microsoft's operating system.
You need to go to your manufacturer's website of the sound card and download the latest version of the driver for Windows. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. We, of course, have Dave Enright. It's going to take me 45 minutes to say the names. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Ken Vogt from Frontier. We have Rob Linton. We have me, Nick Francesco. Is anybody even still listening, for pity's sake? It's the longest... It's not only the longest-running computer show in the known universe, it's also the longest-running intro and outro of people on the panel. Not that we don't love all these people, but we're just here to do all of this, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a lot more of us and a whole lot more of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Some kids shouldn't.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hello.
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 Hello, Sightney. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We have... this is one of my favorites. Microsoft's Patch Tuesday, or as I call it, Microsoft's Monthly Visitor, was Tuesday, September 12th.
Hey, it's weekly.
And it brought three bulletins covering three software flaws. However, one of those flaws was brought out to patch to a patch of a flaw.
For me.
So it's the third time's the charm patch on a single IE flaw. It's a code execution bug that could let somebody take over your machine. The additional flaw was similar to the one that caused the original re-release, but actually existed in a different location, but it's the same flaw with increased scrutiny. It's a similar vulnerability, but it's not quite. It's in a different place. And it's refixing the fix to the fix. This whole thing underscores the challenges that Microsoft faces in shipping patches for multiple browsers, multiple operating systems versions. It strengthens the argument from critics that the complex nature of the company's widely used software is by itself a major security threat. The problem really becomes anytime you have an homogeneous environment. Anytime you have a system that is all one operating system, a virus can run through that environment like wildfire. If you've got a multiple of Windows, Macs, and Linux boxes in your office, some of them will get hit, but the rest will be clean and you can rebuild from them. So I'm a big fan, personally, of multiple operating systems in an environment. I'm the systems administrator for the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and we have both Windows and Linux boxes in our server room and in our network, and so it's much easier to fix. One of the things that bothers me is there's been a flaw in Microsoft Publisher, which is the newsletter, brochure, flyer, catalog thing from Microsoft. They finally fixed it. That bug was reported to them more than 400 days ago, over a year ago, and now they're finally getting around to fix it. I'm not impressed by that. I got to be honest with you. Oh, well. All right. That's enough of that. I just happens all the time. Our next caller is Mike from Springwater, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing today?
Peachy, you?
Oh, Ducky. Hey, I have Frontier DSL.
Congratulations.
I love the DSL.
See?
And I got a Mac, and...
Congratulations.
I'm using .Mac. It won't let me send any emails. Keep sending them back saying it's undeliverable.
It should say why it's undeliverable in the bounce error.
It told me to go to try a different port. It's at port 25 now. I tried port, I think it was 587.
Are you trying to send from your own email sender? Your own email server on your machine at home?
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
You must use the Frontier email server to send a mail when you're connected to FrontierNet.
Uh-huh.
That's been months and months they've been telling us
years.
That. Ah. You can read more about it at their website, frontieronline.com or .net. I guess I'll just type it in.
FrontierNet.net.
But FrontierOnline.com.
Yep.
No, support.FrontierNet.net takes you right to their support site.
Yeah,
that's a frequently asked question. You cannot send mail from your own server.
Okay. Now, if I'm traveling, how would I send me email that way through my .Mac account?
Well, through your .Mac account is
yeah.
a whole separate thing. That is not a problem. That should work fine.
Well, that's where I'm trying to send it through is my .Mac account.
When you're connected to FrontierNet, you must use the FrontierNet server.
Okay.
When you're connected to other ISPs, you use their mail server.
Whatever they want. But
okay. If
you're connected through DSL, and it is the very top question in their most frequently asked questions list, what should my SMTP outgoing server be set to?
No, the third one down. Why am I unable to send mail through my personal mail server? Effective December 3rd, 2003, you cannot send mail through your own server. You must use the Frontier server.
Well, I would also check both of them. Make sure your SMTP is correct, your outgoing mail server is correct, and then read the third one as well.
It's a way to filter spam that people can't jump on the Frontier DSL line and send email without having a Frontier account. The change they made a couple of months ago was that you now have to authenticate when you send your mail to prove that you're a Frontier customer. So now non-customers can't jump on a line and send email and send out spam.
Very good. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you. Our next caller is
Steve
from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Every time I go, I play Euchre on Yahoo.
Yeah.
And I get this down at the bottom. I got my screen with the cards on it. And at the bottom, it has applet games, table, applet started at the very bottom of my card game.
Right.
And, you know, usually where it'll show the score and how many points I got, what have you.
Right.
Is there a way to get rid of that?
That's coming from the Java machine that's inside your system.
Right.
And there's no real...
Turn off the status window?
If you have a status window, you should be able to just close it. And that should be... if you go into the control panel, you should be able to go into the Java thing and turn off some of those status windows.
Just a little status window at the bottom of the browser window that shows you're connecting to what website. It's usually in the view menu to turn off the status line. So try that one, too.
Right, you could do that as well. So either of those should work depending on which one it is. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites.
PCs to Macs. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Real quick, there is another ActiveX flaw that's out there, and there is a code to exploit it. So those of you still using Internet Explorer, sorry, that's easy enough. I'm sorry. All right, we're back, and we should get to Phil. Phil, we have Phil from Greece who has another Frontier question. Welcome, Phil. What's your question, Phil?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I went to one of your classes, and it was great, and I learned a lot. And
thank you.
Anticipating the next class and waiting to hear when that's going to be announced.
We're in negotiation right now for the next class.
Well, I tell you, Nick, negotiations are good, but your classes are better.
Okay.
We got to get those classes on because it's the most informative thing I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you so much.
And you guys do a great job.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Question number two is, I got a generic computer guy built it for me, a local guy in town. When I got it, the hard drive sounded less than low, but it was still loud. Now I've had it for over a year, and it sounds like a vacuum cleaner. My computer's slowing down more and more. I do the tango dance. I do everything. It works great. But I think the hard drive is failing.
Do you hear any clicking noises or just the loud whirring?
It sounds like an engine like an electrical engine. A motor, I guess that would be, not an engine, right?
That might be the fan.
No, I've done all that. I've stopped all the fans physically for a second. Yeah, you know,
some hard drives are just loud when they're spinning. It's a clicking noise is more indicative of a hard drive failing.
Do you hear any slamming, like the actuators clicking at all?
Nope. It just sounds like a loud,
If it's that loud, I would get myself a new drive and transfer the data. There's two ways you can do this. You can buy a new drive, take your machine apart, plug it in, buy some software to do the transfer, hope you get it right, verify it, pull out the old drive, put the new drive in, rejigger all the stuff, put it back together, and make it work. Or you can take it somebody to like Dave or Steve, pay them whatever their price is with the new drive. They'll do it for you.
You think I can get into something like that on this $200?
Pardon?
You think I can get into something like that for under $200 if those guys do it?
Depends on the size of the hard drive.
And how much, data transfer and something like that.
Just 20 gig hard drive.
Yeah. You can.
They don't make them that small
anymore. Well, wait a minute.
We just bought a 500 for a customer of ours.
Yeah. I mean, to do it and include the hard drive for under $200, no way. You're talking a couple hours labor just in transferring it over, resetting everything up, updating the drivers and everything else to verify that everything is up to date. So like I say, you're looking at the price of probably a couple hours labor and the price of a hard drive.
Okay. What's labor up to now, about $95 an hour?
80 gigs or less than that.
Okay. All right, guys, get those classes going so we can learn how to do this ourselves.
It's a deal, Phil. Thanks. Hey. All right, our next caller is Rob from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Rob. What's your question?
Hey, don't hold Pittsford against me. I'm kind of a default administrator, if you know what I mean, for like a small business with six boxes and relatives all over the country. So, I get those phone calls at 10 o'clock and all that. But anyway, I think if you can answer one basic question for me, it'll help me out in a lot of areas.
Sure.
For instance, my personal machine, I bought it, Clone XP Home, and I thought I had heard at one point in time not to download, like, Service Pack 1 unless you were having any issues, and now I think I'm so far behind the power curve, I kind of want to get it updated again, but I don't know if I have to start at the beginning or I can.
Service Pack 1 did have a lot of problems in the early days, and it still might depending on what drivers you have loaded for various things. But in general, you've got your best bet is to make sure that you've got both Service Pack 1 and Service Pack 2 loaded.
Yeah, now you have to load one before you can load two, right? If you're at Prime.
Yep.
So that's annoying. Well, hopefully Service Pack 2 will fix some of the problems that Service Pack 1 introduced.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the theory, and it's supposed to do that. But I would definitely move up to Service Pack 2. There are a lot of fixes in there that'll keep you safer. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ken Vogt, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Well, guess what? Nothing's safe anymore. Adobe PDF files can open a back door for computer attacks. There's code out there right now, rigged PDF files, that will demonstrate how the Adobe Reader program could be used to launch attacks without any user interaction. So all you have to do is open a PDF file. The penetration testing expert, Kevin Kierznowski, David Kierznowski, who found all of this, claims that there are at least seven more points in PDF files where an attacker can launch malicious code. So it's one of the interesting finds is you can backdoor all Adobe Acrobat files by simply loading a single JavaScript into a local directory. So all you have to do is download that JavaScript, which can be done in the background on a website, and bang, you're done. It's an interesting problem, and I'm sure that the folks at Frontier working on it even as we speak. So we're back to the phones now, and our next caller is Roger from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Good morning. Enjoy your show. I listen there all the time.
Thanks.
I noticed that on scan scan documents, if I select an area of that scan document to copy into any other program, such as WordPad or MS Word, it don't come out right. Some of it doesn't. Even the words are misspelled.
Well, a scanned document is just a picture. It's not words. You have to run it through an OCR program like TextBridge or OmniPage.
Well, I have MS Office, and I have...
That does not have an OCR program.
Yeah, that doesn't have OCR.
OCR usually comes with the scanner. OmniPage, TextBridge, and Read Iris are the biggest ones.
Well, I have a HP scanner. It's only a couple years old, and it says that it... does OCR.
Right, but you have to tell it to do the OCR. You scan the document, you open the OCR program.
Right, so you're actually getting the correct text, only some of it is misspelled.
That's right.
Right, that's normal. OCR isn't very good, especially the free OCR programs.
Yeah. Okay,
they're not very good at recognizing the text.
It just came with the program.
That's why.
Okay, so if I was to purchase OCR, then it would work better? Is that what you're saying?
No,
OCR... Well, better, yes, but still not perfect. Yeah. OmniPage Pro is about $500. That's one of the best OCR programs. But it still says it's 99% accurate, which is one misspelled word in every 100, which is like 50 misspelled words in a page.
No, it's one misspelled character, one misrepresented character. So it's just about one a line.
Yeah. So you're still going to have a lot of misspellings on a page, and for a lot of scanned documents, it's usually cheaper to hire a professional typist.
Yeah. So you're always going to come out with a problem like that, right. Roger, I'm sorry. I wish it were better, but that's just the state of the art. Our next caller is Chet from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chet. What's your question?
Yes, good morning. I have a Time Warner, and I use AOL, and my computer is so slow. Now, I'm sure this is an older version. It's a Gateway 2000, and it has a 320 megabyte RAM and 330 megahertz Pentium 2 processor. And it takes me 7-8 minutes sometimes just to open this thing.
Yep.
Looks like it's just crawling on knees, not even walking.
Right.
Yeah, that's a lot slower than that class machine should run. It's probably a spyware infestation.
Well, he's also probably running Windows 98.
I'm running Windows XP Professional.
On a Pentium 2?
Yeah, you're way overdriving the computer.
Yeah.
That computer isn't capable of running XP efficiently, which you've noticed.
Yes.
Yeah, you've...
So I should go to what, just the home version?
No.
No, you got to go to a new computer.
You got to go back to 98.
Yeah, the problem is that when Microsoft put out Windows XP, they expected that they would be running on much faster machines with a lot more RAM and a lot faster processor.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, Microsoft has sort of left you behind.
Yeah, we're recommending 1,000 megahertz processor and a gigabyte of RAM to run XP efficiently.
I see. But now, what will be the suggestions to go for a new computer and a spec-wise?
Just what I said. At least 1,000 megahertz.
At least a gigahertz.
In fact, I just updated the minimum. Did you get that?
Oh, I did, but I didn't put it up yet.
A gigahertz processor, a gigabyte of RAM, 80 gig hard drive minimum, which is about the smallest you can buy these days.
Okay.
And the more of any of those you can put in, the better off you are.
Yep.
Is there any better version, like, say, a Dell, which is the Gateway or anything?
Well, I personally believe you should go to a local dealer like Dave or Steve, but certainly Gateway is fine, too. That's not the problem in this particular case.
And the trick is that all of them have... It's almost deceptive advertising, but legally not. You see ads on TV for a $299 computer.
Right.
That $299 computer isn't really good for much other than playing solitaire on your own machine. So you call them up to buy that, and they tell you, well, you might want to upgrade the RAM, you might want to upgrade the processor, you might want to upgrade the video card.
That doesn't include their service warranty.
Doesn't include the service contract. A decent computer is going to cost you $700-$800. for regular home use. If you looking at a gaming computer to run games on, you could easily spend $2,000-$3,000. On the video card alone these days sometimes.
Yeah, right.
So that's unfortunate. You can get really cheap computers. Just don't expect to do more than you know, type simple letters and play solitaire. You know, barely any internet use. You know, none of the fancy stuff.
And in general, XP requires a very fast machine with a lot of RAM. And AOL on top of it requires a very fast machine with a lot of RAM. So you put those two together, and you better have a dang decent machine to run it on, I'm afraid. That's just the way these things work. I don't know. It's. I've been saying it for years, and apparently it's just become a phrase nobody listens to, but the price of poker keeps going up. And when you buy a new machine, you have to be aware of that. And you have to be aware that your older machine, in terms of the newest stuff, Microsoft has left you behind. And I wish it weren't so. But it is. When I say the price of poker keeps going up, it's not just in what you're paying for software. It's what you have to pay for hardware to run that software on. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We have Rob Jason and Randy Gorbman in right now for the news. Apparently, they're double teaming. It's got to be big news in there today. I don't know what's going on with there. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Ken Vogt from Frontier. We haven't let talk much. We should probably fix that. Certainly not right when we get back. And, of course, Rob Linton. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We'll be back on the other side of the news with a lot more interesting stuff. We've got our polls. We've got all that other stuff that we do. And we'll be bringing you all those things with sound bites.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Well, before we get back to doing anything else, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Last week, every week we do a poll. Last week's was about Amazon's video download store. 220 of you voted, making it number 233 on the all-time hit list. Thank you all. The big winner was Linux. Can I play them on Linux? 38% of you, 37% of you were kind of interested, 13% were thrilled, and 12% of you wanted to know, does it work on a Mac? And the question was about Amazon's video download.
Right. On the Google download service, the answer is yes. On the Amazon download service, the answer is no. You must be using a pretty heavy Windows XP machine.
A very heavy Windows XP machine.
One of the other things that came out of Apple's press announcement last week, which was a little weird, is that the iTunes store, the internet store, is the number 5 music seller in the country,
right,
including brick-and-mortar stores. Walmart is number 1 of brick and mortar stores, so they're number 1 in online music and number 5 in music overall. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that is astonishing.
People are buying music online rather than going to the store.
Yep.
So the stores probably aren't too happy to hear that.
No, I'm sure they're not. In tune with that, however, there are some we've already talked about PDF problems and all these other problems. Well, there's a security flaw, actually multiple security flaws, in Apple's QuickTime Media Player, which could put both Mac and PC users at risk of malicious hacker attacks. Apple has released QuickTime 7.1.3 as a high-priority update, alongside warnings that maliciously crafted movie and image files could be used to execute harmful code on vulnerable computers. And the update fixes a total of 7 vulnerabilities. So for heaven's sake, if you are if you are using QuickTime movies at all, you need to update your media player immediately, and that's not just PC people, but also Mac people, which leads us to this week's poll question, which is, I view QuickTime movies online. The choices are almost exclusively, pretty often, rarely, and I have no idea. So far, I need to click on the right link on my screen. We have 65 people who have voted, and so far the answer, the number one answer is rarely, followed by pretty often, followed by I have no idea, and only five of you view QuickTime movies almost exclusively. This is a tough one because it's not just Windows people this time, but it's also Mac people. The vulnerability exists in every version of Microsoft's media player, or Apple's QuickTime player. So please update as quickly as possible. When you are done with that, you'll see a little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on that, and that will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Thank you. tell him what he would have won, Johnny. And that will let you put in an opinion more than just one of four choices. You get to actually put in text, which makes so many of you much happier. While you're there, please feel free to look around. There's a newsletter that I publish three times a week-ish. I did miss a couple last couple weeks. I missed a couple because I was so busy at work. But there's a newsletter that I publish. There's forums that we have. There's all kinds of interesting stuff on my website. And then when you're done with that, please come back to soundbites.org and check out our forums where some of the coolest people on earth live and have plenty of fun. Some very weird people, but you'll like them. So come on back
and see.
That. They are unique. There's the word I should be using. They are unique. They are unique.
Just like everyone else.
Just like everyone else. Very nice.
Hey.
You should do all of that. Now let's talk to Ken for another minute or two, if we may. Ken, I understand there's a great new promotion and a great new package coming that's available from Frontier.
That's right, Nick. It's available. And it's one, so if you get DSL, high-speed internet, two, you get your phone from us. We'll give free TV. So it's one, two,
free TV television
for a whole year. Yep. It's you get Dish TV, and all someone's got to do if they're interested is call 777-8888.
What's that number again?
777-8888.
So you're telling me I can get my internet.
That's right.
My
fast
phone
internet. Yep.
And free television for a year just by calling 777-8888.
That's correct, Nick.
Astonishing. Yep. And amazing. In the meantime, for those of you who are not actually dialing that number frantically right at the moment, we're going back to the phones, and we're talking to Heather from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Heather. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Thanks.
I have a laptop. It's a Toshiba, and mm-hmm. it uses Windows XP Pro, but it's taking 10 minutes to shut down, and I figure maybe there's a programming running that's taking a long time. Long time to end.
That's probably correct, Heather.
And it's with a friend right now who's trying to figure it out, but I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
Yeah, Dance the Tango.
Yes, I actually have.
When you have your laptop running, try a couple of interesting little tricks. Shut down everything.
Okay.
Shut down your email, shut down your web browser, shut down any games you have open, shut down everything. Each one individually and see how long that thing takes to shut down. Then go along the bar next to the
lower right-hand corner.
In the lower right-hand corner next to the clock, you'll see all those little icons.
That's okay. The startup toolbar.
Right. The toolbar there, close some of those things. Take a look at what you've got running. You should have some sort of antivirus. Close that one down absolute dead last.
Okay.
You should have some sort of firewall. You might have a couple of other things running like Java or some sort of sound something, whatever that is. Again, shut each one down individually and see how long it takes to shut down.
Okay.
That may give you a clue as to what's taking long. But generally, what takes a long time to shut down is something that connects somewhere on the internet.
Downloader. There's a number of spyware programs and hijackers right now called Downloader. There's all different iterations. And while you're trying to work on your computer, and especially if you've got high-speed connection, in the background, it's stealing some of your CPU time to broadcast itself out over the internet. And it's also stealing information from you.
Okay.
So those could be on your machine and in the background, like I say, slowing it down. So when you go to close down, it's not done with its work, and it's still trying to do it while you're trying to close down.
Right. Now, that's the worst-case scenario. If you are running the security tango correctly, you should take care of most of those. But the other thing to check is when it's shutting down, look to see if there's anything on the screen that says installing updates.
Well, the problem I have is it logs off, but then you know how you have that blue screen with the XP logo on?
Right. Yeah.
It has, like, no text under it, and it's just hanging there.
It could also be, well, try all of those things, and if that doesn't fix it, then there's a corruption somewhere in the system, likely, and then you've got to deal with fixing that in whichever way you can. That may involve bringing it to somebody like Dave or Steve or reinstalling Windows over itself or whatever, but let's start with making sure that the machine is clean and then shutting things down individually and seeing if one of them is what takes forever.
Do you ever get a message about this program is not responding? Do you want to terminate it?
Well, I used to have that problem when I tried to shut it down with a USB key in it, but that problem's been taken care of, and it doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, because that would point you in a direction of what program to look for to try to remove.
Well, and also make sure that your USB key has been properly ejected before you start the shutdown process. That's one other thing that can take a lot of time.
Okay.
So make sure that's been done and that you've got it out of there and then shut down. And that'll give you at least a clue as to whether or not it's something legitimate, in which case then you have to figure out which thing that is and decide whether or not to live with it. Depending on what it is, or if it's illegitimate. You know, if it stops, then it was legitimate, and if it keeps going on, it's illegitimate, and then you have to deal with cleaning the machine out. Okie doke? Give those things a try, Heather, and let us know.
That's always a tough question when especially the screen doesn't show you anything.
Well, and there's so much that goes on in the background in Windows
and
Microsoft.
They might not show up on the taskbar because they're TSRs.
Right.
And they're not showing up there because they are spyware.
Yeah, if you
Trojan.
Bring up your task manager, Control Alt Delete, you can see what all the programs are running and try to
Except
figure out what
so
they are.
Except that so many of them are, 90, you know, and, a service.
Right, 99%. They're not listed there either.
Yeah, 99% of the folks wouldn't have a clue of what most of those are.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Dick from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
How are you? Yes. So, well, I have a Nero program, and I made a photo CD, and it works fine on my computers. And I mailed it to my buddy in Florida, and he can't make it run. We have downloaded a fresh Windows Media Player to get him up to the 10.0 version that I've got.
Yeah.
Did you?
And that didn't solve the problem either. His error message says something about he can't find a codec file or something.
It's probably one of two problems. Did you finalize the CD before you gave it to him?
Well, I just went through the Nero program, which finishes and then ejects it.
Well, a lot of times the burning programs like Nero and EasyCD Creator do something that's called packet writing. So it writes data to the disk so that you can write more data to it later, which means it will only work on your computer. You have to finalize the session or close the session.
There's usually a little checkbox that says... In Nero, as you're going through the whole procedure that says finalize this disk.
Yeah, something like finalize or close or make this disk work on other computers, something like that. And then the second problem is whatever compressor you used to create the video, they have to have a decompressor for that file at the other end. So it depends on how you created the video and what you created it with.
Well, I created with Nero's program that says make a photo slideshow. And I use the SVCD format, and
SVCD is a super video CD. His computer may not have the capability of playing a super video CD. It may only be able to play CDs.
Has he
DVDs.
Tried it? Does he have a regular DVD player?
For
his television?
That's not more than a year or so old.
Out for his television, yes.
Yeah, you can try a DVD player that isn't more than a year or so old. Most of them can play VCDs, and some of them can also play the SVCDs.
Oh, is SVCD a choice limiting my options then to who can
that's,
do it?
That's a part of it, yes.
Ah, okay.
That's a great choice if your system is capable of it, then it makes it very nice. But if you have an older... a DVD player or a laptop without an SDVD player, then you can't see anything. And it sounds like that's what's happening on your friend's machine because of the error message that he's getting.
Yeah, now if he purchases the same, well, theoretically, if he purchases the same copy of Nero that you have, Nero should install the codec, yeah. The compressor decompressor. But if his right. if his drive isn't capable of reading an SVCD, then he won't be able to play it.
Right.
And he's got to close the session.
There you go. All right. Our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi. I just have a quick question. Could you explain to me how to convert an MP3 to a WMA file?
With a program that converts yeah. MP3s to WMAs.
Okay.
So you have to find a program to do that.
Okay.
There's a number of them. If you go to PCWorld.com, there's a lot of great utilities there that you can download a free program.
I think iTunes itself will do it, too. It's usually the other way around, converting into MP3. But try the free iTunes from Apple.
There you go.
We'll see if we can find a couple and post them online.
There you go. Check our website, too, at soundbites.org. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ken Volt, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. At 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, this is Soundbites. Before we go on, we do want to say to Brian that we have discovered that our favorite Windows recorder named Total Recorder at TotalRecorder.com does convert between WMA and MP3s in either direction. Of course, then we're also asking why in God's name you would want things in WMA, but that's not our problem. Yeah. That's yours. You can get that at TotalRecorder.com. It costs about $15 Canadian, which is like $11.95. American, so it's...
But it's a great utility, and it does so much.
$17.95, it says. $17.95, now it's gone up.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Probably $12, $13 now, American.
Well, the thing of it is like our show, you can sit there and do so many things, or even songs, if you don't need the high stereo quality. You know, if you're just putting an MP3 player or something else, and you can shrink it down in... rates and everything else.
Right, right.
And reduce so you can get that much more. I mean, there's just a lot of great features within it.
Yep. And check it out, TotalRecorder.com.
And MP3 is the most common music format that all the players support.
You're right. Right. All right, we're back to the phones. And we have John from Canandaigua on the line. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes, I have a Dell laptop with Windows XP Media Edition on it. And once every few days, the screen scrambles and freezes. And then I try to shut it down with the shutdown button. It doesn't work. I have to close the lid. And then I open it up, and she reboots. And then every once in a while, when she scrambles, I'll just sit there, and then the screen comes back. So I don't know if I have a hardware or software problem.
Now, when you open and close it, that corrects the issue?
When I close it down completely.
Oh, okay, close it down.
Well, no, close the lid. I can't shut it off with the shutdown button. Nothing happens. It's frozen.
Usually closing the lid just puts the computer to sleep.
In hibernation mode.
Hibernation, and then when you open the lid, it wakes it up again.
Now,
I've seen this a lot on Macs. You say shut down. And you don't wait for it to finish shutting down. You just close the lid. Then when you open the lid, it wakes up and then finishes shutting down.
Right. But in your particular case, when you say the screen goes wacky, and this is Media Edition, or the multimedia edition, the Media Center edition of XP?
That's correct.
What? This came on this laptop?
Yes.
I've never seen a laptop with Media Center.
I have.
That's...
Because it's usually TV cards
the real problem I have with this is your video. I mean, it sounds like a video problem, and it's likely a video driver. My first suggestion would be go to the manufacturer's website for this laptop and make sure you've got the very latest version of their video driver for Media Center, not just for Windows.
See, that's the whole problem. Right now with Vista coming, on the horizon... a lot of the distributors in that are being forced to push this media version because it's left over.
What,
and
John?
Well, the computer's about 3 months old.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because the CD that they used to install from could be a year old.
And it may have been sitting on the shelf at the store for who knows how many months.
Right. So the thing is that you may have the latest version from a year ago of the video driver. So I would definitely update the video driver from the manufacturer's website.
For that version of Windows.
Got it? All right. Cool. I think we kind of lost them somewhere. Our next caller is Patrick from Batavia, New York. Welcome, Patrick. What's your question?
Good afternoon. This is great. I just called right up and got right on.
How cool is that?
That's excellent. And plus, you guys are the best.
Thank you.
So here's let me describe a situation. First of all, let me tell you what I wanted to do, and I'll tell you then why I want to do it.
Sure.
What I wanted to do was to be able to record some things I was looking at on the computer. I was putting together a presentation for an educational class, and I saw some websites, and I had some things on the Word document, and then Excel spreadsheet, and all that sort of thing. So I thought, gee, it would have been nice if I could have recorded all the things I've been looking at in sequence.
Right.
You follow my question?
Right.
Now, is there any kind of software that would just
There are a couple of things you can do. If what you're looking at are static things like websites and documents,
yes,
you can always do either an import or a screenshot into your presentation software, whether it's OpenOffice Impress or PowerPoint or whatever it is. That lets you capture what you're looking at and be able to move from thing to thing at your own pace.
Okay.
If you're looking to get real-time video, again, that can be embedded inside a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
Now, whether it's PowerPoint or Impress, it doesn't matter to me. It's a presentation thing.
So you're like the control print screen to copy what's on.
That is certainly one way to do it. The other way is to just do a copy and paste if you don't want to get the borders and
you do the print screen, paste it into Print Shop or MS Paint and edit everything else out.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if there was a way to capture just a region on Windows and not the entire screen.
Uh-huh. Depends on the program you're using. If you're using Paint Shop Pro,
right.
One of the things that you can do is set it up to do a screen capture, and when you hit whatever that key combination is, you then click on the upper left-hand corner, click on the lower right-hand corner, and it just grabs that region.
Oh, I see. So cut it up. So the it'll be clear enough to show for like a projector.
Depends on how big a region you pick, but with a little bit of playing around, you'll figure out what that is and get it pretty clear.
Okay. So there isn't really any software that you would turn on, and then you could just start collecting all the...
There are a bunch of programs that do that. They're very expensive.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for the other end.
There you go. That's what I figured, huh?
Locally, Ambrosia Software makes one for the Mac called Snaps Pro, and it will record the screen, anything that happens on screen, into a QuickTime movie, and it's $80.
Right.
Wow. So there might be something similar for Windows.
Yeah. Okay.
At a minimum, set your video camera up in front of the screen.
Well, yeah, there you go. Real has it. Real had a product used to call G3. I think they've changed the name now. That did it, but it was not cheap. But give that a shot. It should work. It should work for you without a problem. Our next caller is PJ in Penfield, New York. Welcome, PJ. What's your question?
Thank you. Yes, running Windows Pro, and problem is this: I've gone ahead and been the last couple weeks with no new programs installed. The computer is just going ahead and freezing at times. I first noticed this when I was using a card reader to transfer some pictures from a SD card over, and Windows, not Internet, but Windows Explorer just froze up. Now I'm noticing it at several other times. I danced the Tango from safe mode, and got the most current updates, Stinger,
right,
and everything. Gone through it. Done from one site at least, kind of just see, well, is it a hardware problem because it's... less than a year. It's about a year old, the hard drive, and I know it could go bad within a month. But that very brief check didn't show anything. I got to the point where I put in my Windows Professional disk, and they said, well, you have a more current. And I said, well, you know what, I'll make a call first before I go put the old one on and then use the service packs to bring it up to snuff. Any other thoughts other than holy water?
Well, holy water always works. Make sure the machine is turned on and running when you do that.
Yes, and I'll hold the wires so I can get a charger.
There you go.
Sacrifice the chicken.
Sacrifice the chicken, absolutely.
It's a pretty foul thing, but all right.
This is interesting. The thing I might suggest you try next is a memory tester, a program called MemTest86. That's shockingly MemTest86.com.
Okay, and that link will be up since I'm driving around at the present time.
The link is up there. If you already, I'm pretty sure it's already on our website. If you just go to our website, you'll see that link. And okay. MemTest, you basically download it, get the version that you burn to a CD, download it, burn it to CD, reboot the machine with that CD, and let it run for 24 hours. I promise you, if there is a problem with the memory, this thing will find it.
Okay.
It's a terrific program. Beyond that, I might consider the video card to be the problem. What do you think? An overheating problem of some sort.
Usually video, though, I mean, you know, you'll get in memories, you usually get the memory dumps. But just the locking up and everything else, I mean, it's hard to say.
I'm holding out on you also. I apologize. And sometimes I've just had to, you know, turn off the machine totally by the, you know, front button there because it just will go nowhere. And then it's started. It starts going into it, starts it again, starts about third or fourth time. This isn't all the time. Then finally it kicks in and Windows really opens instead of trying to restart a couple times. I apologize for leaving that out.
Sure, you're just trying to make fools of us. I know you're kind.
Well, you know, last Sunday of
summer. Have you tried doing a reinstall of Windows over Windows?
No, I chickened out because it says you have a newer version, but I'll more than, you know, use that, and then I just have to go back and put the service packs in.
Yeah.
I do the mem test first.
I'll do that first, and then barring that, just say Windows over Windows, or I have everything backed up, or I'll just kind of say, you know what, redo the whole thing.
Maybe. But I would do the memory test first and let it run for a full 24 hours. That's probably your best bet. I'd go there.
Yeah, it's so hard to say without seeing it, you know, what it's doing, because, like you say, usually if it's a video, the screen will go blue.
And I found a couple of Windows screen capture programs in the $30 to $50 range as well.
Oh, excellent. You'll put those links up.
Put them in the links, yep.
Excellent. All right.
And they have free demos.
Very nice. That's important. So Patrick will be happy with that. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I was looking to build my own computer, and I was looking to find out from you guys which motherboard and processor would be the best way to go.
How do you define best? You want the cheapest? You want the fastest? You want the most expandable? You want the latest technology?
Well, now you're...
it depends.
What is it you intend to do with the machine?
Well, not gaming, but I don't want to have to buy another one for maybe another 5 years. How's that? Is that
crack open that credit card.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'm willing to spend the money up front.
I'd go probably with one of the new dual-core motherboards. MSI, Gigabyte, and again, depending on what chip you want to go with, AMD or Intel. I like AMD.
Me too.
What processor? The dual core processor?
You can get 4200s.
Yeah, I would suggest. I love my 4200. Dual core 4200.
That's not a bad price, you know. And again, you got to see if you want, you know, what you want to do with it. Whether you want RAID on it, whether you want built-in video, or you're going to use your own separate video.
Well, I'm probably going to put a high-end video card because I want to run AutoCAD.
Okay.
Then you're going to want at least 4 gig of RAM.
You just added a comma to the price.
Yeah.
Right. That's all right.
The dual-core processor is good. Yeah, the dual-core processor is good. 4 gig of RAM if you're going to run AutoCAD. A very high-end NVIDIA graphics card with at least 512 mega RAM on it.
Dual monitors.
One of the problems.
Huge hard drive.
Yeah. One of the problems we ran into is by the time you look through all of this stuff to find all the pieces that work together, you're often better off buying a name brand pre-built computer. You end up about the same price. You don't have the fun of building it yourself, and you don't have the fun of trying to figure out why this video card doesn't work with that Ethernet controller.
But that's the other thing. All right, you can do a lot of stuff yourself. But one thing I got to caution folks, because I've seen it, been there, done it for a number of folks numerous times, is they go ahead and they go out and get all these parts, and they don't have a clue on the correct procedure I'm putting. Yes, it is very simple as far as getting things together and getting them in there, but as far as putting the chip in there, make sure you put it in the right way that all those pins get loaded down onto that socket, and you're not bending one of those little pins.
I gotcha.
And getting the grease on there correctly, getting the fan hooked up, because you can short that out, and then just setting the motherboard into the case that you're not going to ground that out. I've had one person... Oh, he didn't realize it that a screw got loose, and it was underneath, and it was shorting out the motherboard.
Right.
So building your own is fun, but if you're looking to save money, that is not the way to do it.
What should I pay if I went to a retailer to get what I just was explaining to you? What money should I pay?
It depends, again, how big of a hard drive you want. I mean, we can go up to the new 750 gig hard drives.
I would, and for AutoCAD, you may need that. I would suggest let your fingers do the walking. Talk to Dell, talk to Dave, talk to Steve, and that'll give you a better idea once you know what your full specs are. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ken Vogt, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And he's Rob Linton, and he's not going to speak.
No, because we're fighting.
You and I are fighting?
Yeah, we're fighting.
We're not fighting. I'm just amused.
No, the reason why we're fighting is because people have no idea the garbage that you give me off the air. No,
we
now here's the situation.
Tell your mother what you are up to.
I take the time out of my Sunday schedule.
Your mother. I know
to
your
come
mother's
in here
phone number. I can call her and tell her what you've been up to.
We
you know what she
you,
said
Rob,
to me last week?
Doing
she goes,
weird things. Dan, you don't want to touch that mic over there by
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you don't want to do
oh,
anything.
Stop
that
it.
What did your mother say to you last week?
She said, you know, I should bake those guys a cake for all their
she
birthdays.
Should.
And I said,
she
absolutely
should.
Not.
She, oh, you son of a pup.
No, I'm just kidding.
You lowlife, stinking lowlife.
No, she will.
Speaking of which, did we talk to about Linux and that for the young lady out in California that listens to our show that sent us the cookies? Did you get that email?
Is that the redhead?
I did not get it. No.
No.
Oh, not Lolly. I miss her.
I did not. Jesus, cracker.
That was Lolly.
Holy mother of pearl.
No, I will.
We're just going to move on now because I don't know where you think you're going with that statement, but I wouldn't want anybody looking at me with that look.
Lolly will now probably be sending us all kinds of emails, but I'll let her know that you said that, Rob.
All right, before we move back in, Microsoft here, though, how exciting is this? Microsoft is launching what they like to think of as their iPod rival before Christmas. The first Microsoft Zune, they're not going to call it that for long. The first Microsoft Zune product will hit the U.S. retailers in time for the busy... I'm saying Zune as often as I can until everybody figures out it's a dirty word in another language. in time for the business Christmas holiday season, it's got a 30-gigabyte digital media player and a Zune Marketplace online service. It's going to be reaching the customers just before Christmas. They are going to compete with the iPod as so many other devices do, which is why Apple only has 75% of the market. They're going to compete with iPod and with iTunes and blah blah blah. I've heard this 100 times. You'll be able to play music and videos and photos on the screen. The big difference is the Zune player will include wireless technology and a built-in FM radio tuner, which so far iPods lack. Both of those things.
Lack built-in, but have third-party options for
it. Right. But here they're built-in. What's interesting about the Zune's wireless technology is it will let players, let users share songs and playlists and photos between Zune devices. You can listen to any copyrighted song up to three times over 3 days, after which, of course, you have to purchase it if you want to continue listening to it. But you can purchase media and manage your media libraries and purchase music tracks individually or buy a Zune Pass, which is a subscription service letting users download as many songs as they want for a monthly fee. Zune devices will come in a massive three colors, black, brown, and white. You'll not only be able to view media on the 3-inch screen, you can also customize the screen with personal photos and themes. Another deviation from Apple's Zune devices will come preloaded with content from record labels. The iPod market has fallen in the past year, fallen being from 80% to 70%. I wouldn't mind where they've fallen to, having that much of the market myself. There will be three Zune accessory packs, the Zune Car Pack, the Zune Home AV Pack, and the Zune Travel Pack. And Microsoft, like Apple, is also working with accessory manufacturers to provide even more add-on products for Zune devices. So we'll be seeing Zune soon.
Which is still at comingzune.com.
Zune.com, right. Still says coming soon. Our next caller is John from Fairport, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.
Thanks. I got a question for you. On the bottom of my screen, I'm running Windows XP.
Yeah.
And on the bottom of my screen, I used to have something there for a microphone, you know, mm-hmm. little icon to click.
Yeah.
And it disappeared. And now I've got an address bar with a little go arrow. Now, how do I get the microphone back? Little icon for
Open
it.
Open your sound control panel, and there's a checkbox in there somewhere that says show in taskbar.
Okay. So if I go to...
And the you've probably also accidentally turned on a quick launch toolbar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if you right click on the
toolbar,
there's a list of what bars are visible, and you can turn off the extra one that you probably accidentally dragged down there. Yeah, you can drag any window down to the toolbar, and it becomes a bar of buttons on that window. We
right.
see a lot of people accidentally drag their desktop down there and get all this extra stuff they don't want.
Yes.
Now, does your sound still work? Because that could be the other problem. The computer doesn't know it has a sound card anymore, so it conveniently removes the sound icon.
Yeah, that's the other choice. He didn't say he doesn't have sound. He just can't do the microphone. So that's a separate thing. I think you were right the first time. Going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ken Vogt, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
You know that story you heard earlier on Computer Talk that you can understand? Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ken Vogt.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this, at 54 minutes after the hour, is Soundbites. Have you forgiven me now? Is that what this is about?
Never.
Okay. But you're willing to work with me, at least under these conditions, as long as we're in separate rooms.
It's a very good thing that this is not television. That's all I got to say.
I didn't know you knew that many rude Italian
street
gestures.
Come on in here.
You can
be on TV.
Yeah, you guys are on TV. Luckily, the Rob cam has gone bye-bye. Because
we can
now be bad.
We can rearrange it.
No.
Yeah.
Nope, we've got a new studio
right
now.
And folks can watch live what you do.
Actually, people still instant message me and say, "Where's the Rob cam?"
See, they
and
want
you know my
the
response
Rob
is?
Cam.
I'll show you where the Rob cam is.
It's coming.
We love the Rob cam.
Here it comes.
All right, we're going back to the phones now. Jonathan from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Jonathan. What's your question? Jonathan, are you there?
I'm here now.
Did I take you by surprise, Rob? By saying, "Okay, we're going to go back to the phones now," and giving you like. Who's coming in here? He's going to do
that. That was caught on camera.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is about contact management software.
I've got a company laptop now that has Lotus Notes on it, but it was what we use for email, but I'm not sure it has the ability to keep a database of clients, prospective clients, especially where I can sort them maybe by zip code, by activity, et cetera. And something's easy to use. I mean, it's got, you know, I can put in contacts, but will Lotus Notes do that, or what would you recommend for the best program for, like, a contact management?
In a corporate environment, Lotus GroupWise, which includes all the contact management and scheduling and then notes for email, is the corporate version of that.
Right. And Lotus Notes itself can certainly be programmed to do those things, but you'd better be darn fine at programming.
Contact manager.
ACT. Yeah, ACT is from Symantec.
ACT is an excellent product.
Well, and then even Microsoft's own Outlook does that, but we really don't like using that one because of the security holes in it.
Yeah.
Besides ACT, which I don't know, I hear it's really expensive. Are there any other? And how easy is ACT to use? I'm told it takes a while to really get.
Well,
really
any of them do.
Yeah,
There's no free, simple, instant, yet high-powered contact management software. You've got to spend some time learning it.
Yeah, are you looking for a single user or small business?
Single user. Basically, if there's 50 accounts in my territory, I want to add them in and then, you know, add them in, have different categories, as I said, sort them by zip code, you know, just name, address, phone number.
Your own in Access.
Yeah. Right, you can do that in Access. There's also Contact Plus, which is not tremendously expensive.
Contact Manager for Windows. Google Windows Contact Managers and you'll find a bunch of different programs.
Oh, you know what's even a cheaper one? And it does a pretty good job, though, is Microsoft Works. Microsoft Works has a database program in it. You can design your own fields.
One of the ones that I've always really loved was Chaos Intellect.
Time and Chaos. They're, you know, time management system, too.
Right. They have a product called Time and Chaos. The new one is called Chaos Intellect. I would check them out at chaossoftware.com. That's chaossoftware.com. They have, it's a great program. It's not a terribly expensive program.
And ACT is about $200, which is a little bit much for a single user.
Right. And so it's a pretty good product all the way around. Listen, we're done. I personally like Time and Chaos, and version 6 is the latest one of that. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank Ken Vogt. We let him come in, and then we didn't let him talk too much. He's from Frontier, and we appreciate his coming in to be with us. I want to thank Rob Linton, who works so hard and so diligently in here every week and puts up with an amazing load of stuff from us. And, I use the one-syllable word instead of a two-syllable word. But, yeah, one-syllable word works, too. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 58 minutes after the hour, and you're watching Soundbites on 1180 WHAM, or listening to it or something.
News Radio 1180 W.